name of Jesus. We continue to study the book of Hosea. Last time we started, we stuck here. How the prophet delivered message. Okay, so we mentioned about Hosea. God especially instructed him to marry a harlot. So as a prophet, he must obey whatever God says. So sometimes it's very difficult to just do it. But this is how a prophet should be. And so that's why in chapter 1 we will see how Hosea, he start his own family. And then, another way is by writing the message into books. So that's it's called, sometimes prophet wrote by themselves, but also they can do others' hands to record it, just like a prophet Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah. They do have their secretary. They just like a secretary to record for them. Okay, so this is a prophet after they receive message from the Lord. They have to deliver it. It's all different kind of way. And God appoint prophet. So a lot of different kind of prophet happen, or we can see in the Old Testament. Before Moses' law, like Enoch, who walked with the Lord for 300 years. In Jude, verse 14, we can see how he prophesied the end time. So it's also considered as a prophet. Noah, God told him about what is going to happen. Right? And Abraham, in Genesis 20, is a description about Abraham. He is a prophet. He's a prophet. After Moses, Miriam, they are all considered as a prophet. And then in the times of Judges, Deborah, she also received message from the Lord. And a prophet without name, Judges 6, chapter 6, verse 8. Then in the times of kingdoms, there's so many. So that's how in the prophetic books, many prophets has been appointed by the Lord. And in the times of exile, prophet, this is in Nehemiah chapter 6, this is also they call it a prophet. But if you look at sometimes the prophet is not that faithful. The prophets may speak their own word, but people can still see consider them as prophet of the Lord. So that's why in the later time, the children of people have to discern who is a true prophet, who is maybe a false prophet. So we can see in the New Testament time also, in the church, God set up a position called prophets, right? So in New Testament time, church also have prophets. So that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God said all different kind of give people different kind of gifts, spiritual gifts. One of the spiritual gift is to prophesy. So if it's in chapter 4, verse 11 to 12 also, God said, apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, right, pastors in the church, in order to build up the body of Christ. So prophets in Jerusalem, like Agabus, in Acts chapter 11, he prophesied there is a big famine coming. So 2 or 3 years later, this big famine come. He just fulfilled what he prophesied. And also Judas and Silas, in Acts chapter 15, record they are the leaders of the church and they consider as a prophet. So that's why in the Ephesians, let's turn to this verse, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. Ephesians 2:20, verse 19 and 20. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of household God. 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The church has been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The prophets means in the Old Testament time, prophet. So prophets means they receive revelation and they know how to interpret the Old Testament, how to connect the message of Jesus in the Old Testament. That's why they know the mystery of Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, for by which you have read and you have understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So, as a prophet, usually they have to speak the mystery of Christ. So usually in the church, on the pulpit to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God, considered as a prophesy, right? So that's why after we receive the Holy Spirit, sometimes people in the Bible it recorded as people can prophesy, just like as a prophet to proclaim the mystery of salvation. So that's why if we in the future we are assigned to deliver sermon as a sermon speaker, we must be very careful to deliver the right message, not going to use this pulpit for other purpose. You know, sometimes people may use the pulpit to rebuke someone. Just like they use this opportunity because everybody has to listen. Use this opportunity to say something of their own. This is not a prophet. They will eventually become a false prophet. Okay, so New Testament also has the prophet. So church is built on this foundation of apostles and prophets. Prophet, prophecy, speak the mystery of Christ. Okay, now let's go into the introduction of this book of Hosea. Background, very, very important. I have to know its background, right? Turn to chapter 1, verse 1. He is the son. He is the son of Beeri, right? In verse 1, huh? The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri. So he grew up actually in North Kingdom of Israel. So that's why his message is focused on Israel. And he's a young man. Why? In verse 2, God told him to marry someone. So he's a single, right? In the beginning. But he is very submissive to God in his marriage. And after marriage, God told him to name his children. And the name is very special, right? So if we look at the chapter 1, we will know. Sometimes it's very hard. but he just obeyed. And Hosea means salvation. And the name actually is similar to, it's the same with the king Hosea. Let's turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings 17 verse 1. Hosea, 这个以色列王最后一个王叫做何西亚，这里 is the same name of Hosea. So in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hosea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. So this is last king, right? That's the same name actually in Hebrew is the same.And actually, it's the name of another name of Joshua. So you turn to Numbers 13. If you turn to Numbers 13, you can see this name, Joshua. Numbers 13, verse 8 and 16. And you can follow Jasper Henry.Numbers 13, verse 8 and 16. Then 16. Finish already? Probably need to read aloud. Okay. So in verse 16 say, and Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Okay. So Joshua and Hosea and Hosea, the same name. And the name is actually is a salvation of God. Salvation of God. And the working period of Hosea from about 760 to 725 BC. This in his working time. So he served as a prophet for almost 40 years. Almost 40 years. So before the Assyria conquered Samaria, Hosea, he delivered a message of destruction.He give the warning, have to be aware of this destruction coming. So if people can return to the Lord, then they will have peace. Otherwise, destruction definitely is coming. So the background is in the late time of the Jeroboam II as the king of the Northern Kingdom. Okay, and then during this period of time, how do the Israelites know Hosea is the true prophet, not the false one? Because in his message, he always give warning, right? The enemy is coming. The kingdom of Israel is going to be destroyed. When you heard this kind of the unhappy or sad news, what do you think? Is this going to be true?Or this guy is crazy guy, right? So people have to first discern it. Will they listen to the prophet or they reject it? Consider as this is your own message. We don't believe that God talked to you this message, right? So discerning the prophecy, we have to discerning the prophets whether it's a true one or false one.Have to consider about his prophecy, the message itself, lifestyle, and characteristics of God's sermon, and this consistency of the word and life. Sometimes we have to use it as a criteria or something to evaluate. So The true prophet, what is a behalf of a true prophet? It must come out from the children people of God, according to Deuteronomy chapter 18. The prophet must come out from their own brothers. So the prophet cannot from strangers or foreigners. This first to Israel people. Then they have to speak in the name of the Lord. So everything they have to proclaim the Lord first. The Lord says. So from Deuteronomy 18, and then their word must be fulfilled. If they were fulfilled, then you know. Because it's impossible that a human being say their own word and they prophesy something and it happened. Just like someone proclaim, oh, the second coming of Jesus is coming, right? In last year, when? 2012, December 21, 21st maybe, right? There's a pastor proclaimed. The end is here near, but actually, you know, it's an empty word. Right? It's not a true prophet. What else? They have to have this ability to perform signs and miracles. That's why in the Old Testament time, prophet always contains special power or ability to do something extra. And the message lead people to follow God, not away from God. This is the most important thing. The message itself must make people understand we have to return to God and follow God's way, right? And draw near to the Lord. Their message must correspond to God's attribute. Means if he encourages someone or he give warning to someone, it must according to God's way and God's character, characteristics. Listen to this verse, Jeremiah 23. Say if you are a wicked man, then a pastor come to you and say, "Wow, brother, you are so good. You have peace. You will be prosperous, right? And you are okay. You can enjoy your life." Do you believe it's true? Jeremiah 23, verse 16 to 17. Sister Angela, can you read? Okay. If you look at these two verses carefully, you will see. They continue said to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace, and to everyone who walked according to the detected of his own heart, they said, no evil shall come upon you. You know this prophet is not a true one. God will not say such things to a person. If a wicked man always, you have to return, you will change. No peace at all. Alright, so this is some criteria we can use to tell a true prophet or false prophet. How about false prophet? Prophesy out of their own heart. They say their own words, not God's word. Prophets not speaking in the name of the Lord. Right? This prophet lead people to forsake the Lord. And I think they are greedy in their own benefit. And most important thing, this false prophet, usually they emphasize themselves. They want to receive the glory from human being. False prophet is actually care only their own thing. So sometimes this false prophet make people to follow them, become a group. We must be careful, not be deceived. Okay. Then the historical background of the Hosea. Kings of Judah, right? In chapter 1, verse 1, it describes this, who are the kings in southern kingdom, right? So actually from Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. So in this period of time, about 60 years, this is the kings of Judah. From about 790 BC until Hezekiah, about 700. The entire period of time, about almost 100 years. But because some of overlap, okay, so during this time, Hosea, he became a prophet. And the kingdom of Israel, Jeroboam II, this is the most prosperous period of Israel after the division of the kingdom. So actually at that time, Israel, they enjoy their life. They just have peace. They can sit just under the fig tree to enjoy. But it also is the most dangerous thing, most dark period of their belief, of their faith. After Jeroboam II, Israel changed 5 kings before the Assyria invasion and the kingdom falls in 722. So not too long after Hosea, then the kingdom fall. So that's why in this time, Assyria, he became a threat to Israel. This is a big enemy to them, but they are unaware of this danger. That's why to the prophets, consider, how come you link yourself to your enemies? That's why God made Hosea to proclaim again and again the same message. Yet Israel, they tend to seek shelter from the Assyria. Okay, so from chapter 5, chapter 7, we will see the message. We just previously reviewed first. How about the religious and social background? At that time, the whole nation of Israel played harlot. They turned to idols, forsaking the true God, corrupt in deeply. Let's turn to this verse, chapter 9, verse 9. Chapter 9, verse 9. They are deeply corrupted as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. They are deeply corrupted. Spiritual adulteries. 属灵的淫乱. The priest reject knowledge. So the priest didn't fulfill their duty. They don't teach the Israelites about the law. They don't care about their iniquity. On the other hand, actually in chapter 4, verse 7, the more they increase, means the priest increase, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame. Because in verse 8 said, they ate up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. So this, the corruption of Israel related to the corruption of priests. Because the leader then reject the knowledge of God. So people, they become ignorance or innocent to the word of God. They don't know the heart of God, what they should supposed to do, right? So this, but on the other hand, the Israel people, they don't respect the priest or prophet either, right? They despise and hate prophets. In chapter 9, we will see. And but at this moment, God appointed prophet to rebuke. In chapter 6, verse 5. But Israel treated the prophet as an enemy. They don't like it because they always say something they don't want to hear, right? I have spoken by the prophet. God used prophet to deliver the message. So I have spoken by the prophet. If prophet are faithful, then they say God's word. So indirectly, God proclaimed it to the people. And the reality of the society in chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, we can see this is just a summary of their society. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Sister Michelle, can you read? Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. See, in this kind of environment, society, the whole nation corrupt. They don't care about God. And since there's no so-called faith or faithful, people people lying to each other, killing, and then commit adultery. So broken family everywhere, right? No one care about others. Just try to fulfill their desire. Okay, so Assyria was rising as a superpower. Let's turn to chapter 8, verse 9. So they have faced a very strong enemy. Verse 9. Brother Grady, let's read. They gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey alone by itself, even as her lovers. But Assyria is the one going to swallow them up. But they still wanted to go up to them. How strange. Right? So in this verse, chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 10, you can see all these messages consistently say they wanted to rely on their enemy, which is going to destroy them. How foolish they are, right? So, want to make a covenant with Assyria. Not only to want to rely on, they want to make a covenant with their enemies. And Israel also were captive of Assyria. This kingdom is a force, that's a storm going to wipe them out. Israel called Egypt. In chapter 7, verse 11, they call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. So, you know, in the north, they try to rearm Assyria. From the south, they want to trust themselves, entrust themselves to Egypt. Hopefully, Egyptians can protect them. And Also, they want to return to Egypt again, become a slave. So the key verse here, now, in this book, Hosea, if we consider as a theme in the key verse, personally, I use chapter 6, verse 3. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 as the main theme of this book. Okay, so please read verse 1 to 3, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. May I have a brother with a loud voice to say it? Who want to volunteer? Read aloud, everyone. Hey, sure.
Chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter for her rain to the earth.
Amen. So this message actually summarizes the entire book. What they're supposed to do. And after return to the Lord, what is the result? And this also describes the heart of God. God used enemy or used prophet first to give them warning. But if they reject, God will just like a lion to torn them apart. But God will heal them again. God will call them back. So this is the theme. In this book, it's talking about two things. Knowing God, we have to know God's loving kindness and justice. Knowing God. After we know God is love, God is really so loving kindness, and he is justice, then we have to return to God. And this calling becomes a hope, just like hope in the darkness. So this is the main theme of the Hosea. Knowing God and return to God. And through this book, we will know how God is so lovely to his people. Even though they are so rebellious, right? Just like a very bad wife run away, follow her lovers, and actually has been sold as a slave, but this husband have to pay the price to call her back, to redeem her back and love her. So this is the love of God. If we can understand God's love, then definitely we will return to God. Even though just like in totally dark, we can still see this hope. All right, so remember these two main point. The main message. In this book, God's heart is being deeply hurt when his people sin and forsake him. So as a husband found out his beloved wife as unfaithful, what a love and hate mingled mind the husband may have. Because most of us are still single, right? You're not married yet. But if you imagine one day, as a husband, your wife is unfaithful to you, but you love your wife so much. After you find out, how come my wife becomes that bad? So in your heart, it's kind of, you just cannot bear it, right? So, but your heart has been hurt. No one wants to put on the green hat, right? That limaus. You know what is limaus? Not a St. Patrick wear limaus. But in Asia, I think it's, at least in Taiwan and China, so-called tiny mouth means your wife has an affair and go out to find someone. So this is kind of the husband just jealous and just cannot bear it. So to God, his people turned away from him to follow idol. This is their action hurt the Lord very much. Right? And then God had to punish the beloved because of sin. Because God is just, is righteous and just, right? According to his righteousness, torn it apart as a lion. God wants punish. Because sin has to be punished. Chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14. Sister. Melissa, can you read?
For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a great lion to Judah. I will tear them to pieces and go away. I will carry them off, no one to rescue.
Okay. So this is God's God's heart. He's just like a lion, young lion, to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. Become very cruel. God won't punish, but God's love holds himself back. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? Let's turn to this verse, 11:8. On the other hand, this is God's heart. To sin, God has to punish it, but to his love, his essence of love, his attribute of love, he just cannot do it, right? In verse 8, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Ama? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart churned within me. My sympathy is stirred. So what is the because eight ma yama? What is that? Anyone? Well, those who in Gangwon or in Seltos may heard my service, my sermon before. Turn to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 33. Deuteronomy 29, 23. Brother. Chapter 29, verse 23.
Verse 23. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt and soil. Nothing touches it, nothing spreads. No vegetation grown on it. And it will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah.
So you can see these two cities are along with Sodom and Gomorrah, which were destroyed by the brimstone from heaven during the time of Abraham and Lot. Okay. So God said, how can I make you like Edmah? Right? No, cannot. I cannot destroy you totally. Right? My sympathy is stirred. So this is God's love. God, his love hold himself back. So the punishment of God is not out of hate, right? Rather, it is out of deeper love. God wants his children people to return. God keep the first covenant for Israel, for him. He cannot forget about how he loved this children, people. Let's turn to chapter 11, verse 1. 11, verse 1. 11, verse 1 and verse 2. Sister. Put it on, Mary.
When Israel was a child, I loved him. How did he
When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. God always remembered his love to Israel. So he just, especially in the book of Jeremiah, God already mentioned it. He used his everlasting love to love them. So once God made a covenant with his people, he never changed it. Fulfilled to the end. So he said, I remember when the Israel as a child, an infant, a baby, they don't understand, but God loved them already. Right? But unfortunately, in verse 2 say, as they called them, the prophet called them, they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baal and burned incense to carved images. It's just so full to worship idols and forsake the one who loved them that much. So it's a powerful way God bring his people back to the new covenant. God will make a new covenant. After they return, God make a new covenant with them. This is in chapter 14, last chapter, from verse 4 to 9. It's a new set of covenant. We will study in the chapter by chapter, and we'll see. Okay, so the book of Hosea is like a gospel book in Old Testament. In Old Testament, book of Hosea considered as gospel. Book of Isaiah also is a gospel because it contained the message of Messiah, the love of Messiah. God's love is actually free. Because we don't pay anything, but God loves us. Even though we sin against God, God still wants us to return to him. So this is kind of the good news to all sinners, right? So this book is very important. That's why we do it when we study this theme, truly know the Savior. We study the book of Hosea, the message of salvation from the Lord who never forsake them. This is a message of salvation. This, the just should walk in the way of the Lord. So, are you a wise man? Are you a prudent man? Yes. Let's turn to chapter 14, verse 9. If we are, then definitely we will study. We will make our effort to truly know the Savior and walk in the right way. Chapter 14, verse 9. Brother Sean, can you read? Who is wise? Who is prudent? Father, are you? Are you? Yes. Sister, are you wise? Yes. Say it aloud. Yes, we are wise. We are not a fool. Right? Yes. So we will walk on the way of the Lord, which is right. Okay? Alright. So this is for the introduction, and then from tomorrow we will start chapter by chapter in this book. And that book. Right, friends, thanks.